continue on with number 8. The supreme good is like water. Water greatly benefits all things, without conflict. It flows through places that people loathe. Thereby, it is close to the way. A good dwelling is on the ground. A good mind is deep. A good gift is kind. A good word is sincere. A good ruler is just. A good worker is able. A good deed is timely. Where there is no conflict, there is no fault. We're going to look at more than a stanza here. We're going to look at what it means to have the great good, the great goodness. You're going to have to follow me very closely here, and I'm sure you will. What Lhotse is giving us is the foundation for what it is that is spiritual awakening, an awakening that is beyond the confines of intellect. You must have a strong place within you, a deeply strong place. Awakening is an accident. It is always an accident. It happens when you least expect it. Meditation, the practice of meditation as a way of living, that supports the activity of the accident. You must understand this. It's never something you come to, it's something that comes to you. And everything that you work upon inside yourself is deeply significant. I want to give you a story. I'm going to give you a couple that will explain a good dwelling is on the ground. A good mind is deep, and a good gift is kind. I just want to work on some preliminaries. Please understand, Lhotse understood what it took to awaken. He understood the premise of living in a different modality, in a different place, from a different point of view. Most of the people I talk to, in fact, all of them, they want to keep their life as they know it, to keep the premise of their life as they can think it, and still gain great benefit from these teachings. It cannot be done that way. A person must come to a place where they build a new life, a new hut for themselves, from within themselves. This hut is not something to scoff at. Let me give you the story. I have known people who are sincere in doing good to their fellow men, said Tai Lang. I have known others who were honest and devout in their religious feelings. I have known yet others who sought the beauty to free themselves from the way of the world through meditation. Some did it by employing drugs to alter the way in which they discern reality. Some by mortification of the flesh. Yet it is obvious that none of these have achieved wisdom and immortality. Why is this? Fuzi said, a carpenter may work very hard at sawing boards and nailing them together. Yet if he lacks the plan of the house, he will never build a house by means of all of his labor. On the other hand, said another student, I've known people whose understanding of the nature of wisdom and immortality was quite profound. Yet neither they achieved any wisdom or immortality. The sage Futse said, an architect may draw workable plans for the most magnificent mansion in the world, one that none have ever seen before. Yet in those plans remain the diagram on the paper, or an image in the mind of the creator. But the mansion does not exist yet, not until a hammer has been put to the nail. Will the architect understand? Will the architect be able to reveal his masterpiece? He will be without a roof over his head. So, the takeaway from this, the insight, is that we must have a very strong intent. This intent is described by Lao Tzu as a good dwelling is on the ground. In other words, it is secure. It can be trusted. The intent is to realize and recognize that there is something more to a person's life. We have to ask ourselves, is my life enough? I'm not talking about all the pleasures and the comforts, the securities, but is my life enough? The way I am living it, is it enough? Lao Tzu then describes what that enough is. You see, you may have all the comforts and securities that you require to sustain a lifestyle that is merely about the physical body, merely trying to avoid pain and sorrow or disgrace, but still not be in the manner of the way. This is very important to understand. How will you understand the manner of the way when you are so comfortable? A good dwelling is on the ground. In other words, Lao Tzu is saying, you know where it is. You have built your life on a mountaintop that is secure. You have built the dwelling to match the security of that mountain. It is immortal. I cannot emphasize this enough. Students think that if they have an intellectual understanding of these teachings, that somehow in that it is enough for their life, but it isn't. It's what Futse said. The architect has looked at it in his life. He has built the plan on paper, but he hasn't lifted a hammer yet. He hasn't done anything yet. He has not established a new life, a new premise of living, a new intent. He hasn't done it. Therefore, all he has done is a myth, a dream, a hope. A good dwelling place within you. Where do we begin? We begin with understanding how this all works. A good mind is deep. This is what Lao Tzu is saying. Here is how we build our hut and then our house, our being. It's first a good mind is deep. What does that mean? It means that my attentions are no longer based in what I will get for what I will give or what I will do. That's the first. A good mind is deep. It can see. It can recognize. Recognize the meaning of what it is to have a life that is substantial, that is spiritually significant. Until you understand you live in a spiritual realm, not just a physical body, but a spiritual realm, until that is made clear within all of us, we cannot understand. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst. We cannot understand great teachings. What the Buddha taught about the heart. We just can't understand it. We hear it. We are like architects that draw up plans, but we don't build our house. Not on a secure ground. We just don't get it. We want to live in the physical at the same time thinking we can juggle that into the spiritual, and it cannot be done. And that's what Lhasa is saying. Metagoro was the son of a very famous swordsman. His father, believing that his son's work was very mediocre, especially after he had taught him diligently the art of swordsmanship, disowned him. Metagoro went to a great teacher on the mountain who was a famous swordsman, Banzo. But Banzo confirmed the father's judgment. "You are mediocre, to say the least," he said. He was sloppy. "You wish to learn swordsmanship under my guidance?" asked Banzo. "You cannot fulfill my requirements." "But what if I work hard? How many years will it take me to become a master?" asked the youth. "The rest of your life," said Banzo. "I cannot wait that long. I am willing to pass through any hardship if you will only teach me. If I become your devoted servant, how long will it take me?" "Oh, maybe 10 years, said Banzo. The father was right. "My old father is getting old," said the young man. "I have to take care of him. If I work really hard, intensely, how long will it take me?" "Oh, maybe 30 years, said Banzo. "Why is that?" asked the youth. "First, you say 10 years, then you say 30 years. I have to undergo that long of hardship to master this thing. I need the art in the shortest time possible." "Well," Banzo said, "in that case, you will have to remain with me for 70 years. A man in such a hurry as you, well, he seldom gains any kind of results and does not learn quickly." "Very well," declared the youth, understanding at least that he was being rebuked for his impatience. He bowed and said, "I agree." The youth was told never to speak of fencing again, never to touch a sword. He cooked for his master, washed his dishes for the master, made his bed, cleaned the yard, cared for the garden, all without a word of swordsmanship. 3 years passed by, and still the youth labored on, thinking of his future. He was sad. He had been not given anything that would help him with his swordsmanship. He had not even begun to learn the art of which he was supposedly devoted for. One day, without warning, Bonzo crept up behind him and gave him a terrific blow, right on the back with a wooden sword. When Matajoro was cooking, he dumped the rice on the floor. Bonzo again sprang upon him unexpectedly. After that day and night, the youth had to defend himself from unexpected thrusts and attacks. Not a moment passed in any day that he did not become attacked. There wasn't a moment in any moment that he didn't think about the tasks and the taste of Bonzo's sword. He learned so rapidly, he brought smiles to the face of the master, and eventually, in no time, because there is no time, he became the master of the sword. What is the meaning of this? The youth, Matajoro, had no dwelling place, no ground to work upon in the beginning. He was sloppy. He lived sloppy. He lived without regard to the meaning and significance of his life as a swordsman. So Bonzo gave him the chance to deepen his mind. A mind that is deep penetrates beyond mediocrity, penetrates beyond the confines of the human body, the human organism. A deep mind is beyond the confines of genetics. Once this is realized and established within a person, the learning begins. And then after the learning comes the awareness. We learn that we are going to be attacked, in this case, with the swordsman and Matajoro. But once he understood that he was going to be attacked, he developed a deeper mind, a mind based in awareness, not based in desire, ambition, pride, but in the awareness that he was going to be attacked. And instead of taking a defensive posture, he developed awareness. He understood the consequences of falling asleep within himself, of allowing his mind to contort in thought and belief. He realized his mind was not enough. He had to have something else, awareness. In that awareness was the way, the insight, the beauty, the truth of it all. His mind was no longer shackled by desire and time. He realized the state of his being. The supreme good is like water, as Lhotse said. Yes, it is vast, and it is not held by right, wrong, good, bad. When our minds are no longer held to this extent, we come into the meaning and the significance of what it means to build our life on the mountain our goodness. This goodness, well, it is emptiness. Let's meditate together. Lhotse said, realize the ultimate emptiness. Achieve interior peace. Be steady in stillness. This is a good mind, a mind that is deep. In your stillness, you will find your strength. Be still.